Praise the Lord. Good evening. Good to see you this evening. Good to be back in the Lord's house. Appreciate your faithfulness. You know, I've enjoyed the music, enjoyed the singing, the special music, and it's just really we take it for granted. I think sometimes even in our church we take it for granted the privilege we have to assemble like this and to read the Word of God, let God's Word work in our life, and really preachers just instruments to teach us what the Bible says, maybe help us see it in a way that we haven't seen it before. But really, it's the Word of God that changes us. And think about the words. I was thinking about it sitting there a moment ago in Hebrews 4, where it says they mix faith with the Word of God. We ought to mix faith with what we hear and say, Lord, I want to apply that to my life. In the opening prayer, the person prayed that we would apply God's Word to our life, and that's certainly what we want to do tonight. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, if you'd be finding that, Proverbs chapter 25. I love the book of Proverbs. And according to 1 Kings chapter 4, Solomon wrote more than 3,000 Proverbs. And only 1,000 of them, basically just over 1,000, are in the book of Proverbs. He wrote many more Proverbs. The Bible says he was the wisest man to ever live. And you remember that when he became king, God spoke to him and said, ask what I would give you. And he's anything, I'll give you anything you want. And he prayed for an understanding heart, for wisdom. And we're privileged to be able to have many of those proverbs that he wrote. He not only wrote these proverbs, he wrote over 1,000 songs. He wrote about trees and animals and birds and fish and all sorts of things. In our text, we're going to read about something, a verse he gave us, a proverb about the refining of ore. And Proverbs 25, and if you're able to stand, I'd invite you to stand for the reading of this scripture, and then we'll pray together. Proverbs 25 and verse 4 says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Now, the purpose of this proverb, and I would think that we would probably understand this without saying it, is not just that we could know something about the refining of silver ore. God has something more for that. He uses these principles to speak to us really about our lives, and we're going to look at that tonight. And so let's pray as we begin. Father, thank you for your word tonight, for what it means to us to be able to have a copy of the Word of God. Lord, for not only inspiring your word as it was given to those writers who moved as they were moved by the Spirit of God, but also preserving your word for us, that we can read it and believe that not only do we have wisdom from a very wise person, but we actually have words that are given to us from God. And we thank you for that tonight and pray you'd bless as we study your word together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we look at this proverb, I'll read it several times tonight, but let's just look at it again together. Verse 4, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." And there are several things in this verse I'd like for us to think about tonight. And the first one is the word potential, the potential. You know, he says, if you can take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel. That's the potential. There shall come forth a vessel for the finer. So the unseen potential in this, what I would call rough ore, when it's mined from the ground, is that it can be transformed into a worthy vessel. In our travels over the years, my wife and I have visited some abandoned silver mines and abandoned gold mines, and just to set your mind at ease, we never found any silver or gold. We didn't really even look for it. But here's the thing I thought about when I looked at these mines, that when you see ore in its natural state, as it's harvested or as it's mined from the ground, if you could visualize that or picture that in your mind, it's hard to imagine what the finished product might look like, what that silver may one day look like, or what that gold may one day look like. And actually, when silver, and this is talking about the mining of silver in verse 4 there, but when silver is discovered or mined, it normally is not even the primary metal in the ore. There are many other metals that are along with that, and most commonly lead. And so the refiner goes to a lot of trouble, a great deal of trouble, to take that ore and to mine that ore so that eventually it come forth a vessel for the finer. So in my mind, I'm seeing this rock, this stone, this what looks like a piece of just dirt, basically. And then you see the finished product, which might be on a shelf that would be a silver pitcher or a silver platter. And that would be a vessel unto honor, a vessel that was on. I actually saw an antique silver coffee pot that was sold in 2013 for $7 million. So I didn't buy it, of course. I already had one. No, I'm just kidding. But imagine, just try to picture this in your mind, someone who would go to the trouble to dig and to harvest this rough ore, to get it out of the ground, looking nothing like it's eventually going to look, and then the finished product would be this $7 million piece of a valuable vessel. And this is why I'm talking about the potential in the ore. There's great potential in that ore. And to me, when I read this, I think about not just about silver, but I think about our lives. The potential there is in every life. And that's really what God has in mind for us, is to help us, all of us, no matter what our age is, no matter what our background is, to be a vessel. Every person has tremendous potential But that potential in a person's life is not always readily seen. You know, I think one of the things that troubles a lot of young people, and it's been a long time since I would have considered myself a young person, but I remember some of the struggles that I had as a young person, looking at myself and wishing something would be different, or if I had this about my life, and my life would ever matter. And the bottom line is this, to me, I believe only God really knows the potential in any life. You know, you and I can look in the mirror, we can look at our physical strength or our personalities, and we might imagine what we might be able to do, but we're not capable of knowing. You and I are not capable of knowing the potential that's in our lives. And I'm not going to turn to it, but in Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. And you're familiar with that story, and how if you look at the potter and the potter's that working at the wheel. And he said that he's going to make that a vessel. He had something in mind. The potter had something in mind. And then Jeremiah applied that to Israel and says, cannot I do with you as I did with this dirt, with this clay, and make you a vessel? And the good news is that we can be a vessel. God wants to make us. Just like the refiner would take that rough ore and work with it to eventually make it a valuable piece of vessel, God wants to do the same thing with us. And I was reminded of when the Lord saved, in Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, the Lord saved Saul of Tarsus. And many of you would know this. Saul was not a believer. He was, as a matter of fact, he was an enemy of churches. He criticized churches. He put people in jail. He had people killed who believed in Jesus. And yet on the road to Damascus, he was converted. He was born again. He was saved. His life was changed. And then the Lord told a man in Damascus by the name of Ananias to go to this new convert, Saul of Tarsus. And this is what the Lord said. He is a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel unto me. And in my mind, and Ananias even said this. Ananias knew the kind of person he was. He knew about his record. He knew about the way he had treated Christians. He was hesitant really to go, but he went and obeyed the Lord. But the point is, Ananias looked at Saul and he didn't see potential in him. He saw him as an enemy, but God saw that he's a chosen vessel unto me. So what does God see in our life? What does God see in your life? What does God see in our churches? What kind of potential does He see? Sometimes we get to looking in our world and our culture and circumstances and the way people are, and we may say, well, there's really not much help for the world that we're in, but we need to see it the way God sees it. So the first thing here in Proverbs 25:4 is I see a potential. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. But there's a second thing I see here, and that's not just the potential, but there's a problem. And the problem has to do with the dross. The dross in the ore prevents it from ever reaching its potential. And dross, what would be a synonym? What would the word dross mean if you're thinking about ore or iron or whatever? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Impurity. That's exactly what was impurity. The dross is an impurity. The dross is that which is in the ore, in the rough ore, that does not contribute to the ultimate purpose of the silver. And so that's the problem. These impurities exist in this rough ore. And so, look at what it says in verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Now, this is not rocket science. This is pretty simple. The only way this silver is ever going to reach its potential as a vessel is you've got to remove the dross from it. And as we think about our own lives, it's easy for me to make this application. If we think about our own lives, the thing that keeps us from reaching our potential really are the things in our life that really should not be there, the impurities in our life. And by the way, all of us deal with those. All of us have to think about that. To reach my potential, I have to remove the dross. And I was studying this once, and I had this thought, really, about this whole subject of reaching our potential and the effect of the impurities or dross in our life. And I believe this is relevant to what we're saying tonight. We often think of our lives and think about things that keep us from reaching our potential, and usually we think of that in terms of things that we lack. If I only had a better personality, if I only had more money, if I only had more opportunities, if I only had more talent, then I could reach a higher potential. But according to this, it's not the things that we lack that sometimes keep us from reaching our potential. It's the things that we have in our life that need to be taken from our life that keep us from reaching our potential. Does that make sense to you? And so therein is the problem, the things that may be hindering us. And I'm not going to do this tonight, but if I were to just put everybody here on the spot and say, for $1,000, I have $1,000 for you, if you could honestly, sincerely think of something in your life that if you would get it out of your life, it would make you a more effective Christian. Now, I'm not offering you that $1,000, just for the record. But you know what? Truthfully, most of us could think of something, even without the $1,000. We could think of something that's in our life that we would be better if it were not in our life. And I'm not just talking about physical things. I'm talking about maybe the way we think or some character flaw or maybe some mindset. You know, dross could be anything that's in our life that really is not contributing to the ultimate goal. That could be some area of disobedience. It could be a belief system. It could be just a prone to be negative or whatever it may be, some attitude we have, a lack of structure or discipline in our life. It could be, you know, things like pride or envy or lust or things that we know these things do not contribute to God's ultimate goal. If we're thinking about how could I in my life reach the potential that God has for me, and only God knows what my potential is, what are the things in my life that I'd say, you know, if I got this out of my life, I would really be a stronger Christian. I would be a better witness. I could be more effective in my life. And the dross has to be taken away. If we're going to reach our potential, it has to be removed. And so, again, the verse says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And you know what God wants us? God wants us to be our very best. And the important thing in life is not that I be like you or you be like me or you be like another person. The important thing in our life is that we be what God wants us to be. What does God have planned for us to be? And there's a passage, and I'm not going to turn to it tonight. I think I will turn to it. Hold your finger here in Proverbs 25, and listen, we're going to come right back to Proverbs. Hope you have your Bible tonight. And then go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, because there's a verse of Scripture that really illustrates this having to do with the nation of Israel. Same sort of object lesson, the same sort of illustration. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 18. Son of man, the word of the Lord is speaking here. 18, Ezekiel 22, 18. This son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. Now notice they weren't initially dross, they've become dross. And all they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver. Now, I like this verse because it tells us, it gives us a living example of this in the nation of Israel, that God wants them to be silver, but they're really dross. They've become dross. And then he lists these other metals, brass and tin and iron and lead. But he really, and so that's how God described them. They're like brass, nothing wrong with brass, Nothing wrong with tin, especially if you're building a barn. Nothing wrong with lead, you know. But God wanted them to be silver. And what I get out of that is they were accepting where they were, but not really striving for what God wanted them to be. And these were substitutes for God's best. And so Israel became brass. I mean, that's just what the Bible says. Now that it's giving us an illustration from this very kind of lesson we're talking about. God wanted them to be silver, but they were really like tin or lead or brass. And there's nothing wrong with being brass if that's God's will for your life. But if God wants you to be silver, brass is not really what God has in mind. And can I say to you tonight, a lot of times people, even Christian people, I believe, they're sort of content with being less than what God really wants them to be. And that's not putting us down. It's just saying we ought to strive to be everything God wants us to be. To reach our potential, the dross must be removed. So go back to Proverbs chapter 25. It says, take away the dross. Now, I want to spend another moment or two on this and then move on. But this dross has to be removed. If we're going to reach our potential, it has to be moved. And the first step of that for any life, the first step of that is salvation. Because when a person is born again, they become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. So this is the first step. Nothing in life has ever done more for me than when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I became a new person and had new desires, new interests, and he became a part of our life. You remember the man at Gadara that he lived in the graveyard, the cemetery, and people were afraid of him. And the Bible says he was cutting himself and screaming and describes how he was. But Jesus came along and Jesus can save that man. And when the people in the village came out to see what had happened, this is how they described finding him. He was sitting, which was rare. He didn't have the temperament to be sitting. He was sitting. He was clothed. He had been unclothed before, and he was in his right mind. Now, this happened when he got saved. He was sitting and clothed in his right mind. Now, I don't know whatever happened to that man for the rest of his life. We do know he evangelized in the region of Gadara. So I'm sure God continued to work in his life, but that initial conversion made a great impact on his life. Are you following what I'm saying? And salvation is not the end of our progress, but it is the most important part. It's the beginning part of our journey. So salvation is the first step. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, truly born again, through faith in Jesus Christ, repentance of your sin and faith in Jesus Christ, then that's the most important thing that you need in your life, is you need the Lord in your life. You don't need religion in your life. You need the Lord in your life. And no amount of religion or baptism or good works or good deeds can make us what God wants us to be. Salvation is a work of God. He births us into the family of God. He raises us spiritually from the dead. And maybe God's been working in your life and you've been thinking about this and wondering about this. And I just want to nudge you in a good direction tonight and say, if you haven't trusted Christ or you're not sure you're saved, make that a priority. And don't be afraid. You may be thinking, well, you know, people around me, my friends, my family, people around me, they think I'm saved, but I know in my heart there's something's missing. Don't worry about what people think. Worry about what God thinks. And make that decision. So that'll be a big step toward reaching your potential. Imagine the changes that God can make in our life. But that continues in our life. And I'm not going to elaborate this point. We talked about it some last night. But separation and obedience and sanctification and yielding ourselves to God, putting off the old, the Bible says, putting on the new. It's a daily discipline. All these things help us reach our potential. So the first thing we see in our verse tonight about refining ore is the potential to be a vessel. The second thing we see is the problem. The
dross has to be removed. I'm looking at it again. Proverbs 25:4. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Now, there's a third thing I want to talk about that's embedded in this, and that's the process. How is this dross removed? How is this dross removed? It's called refining. That's what oil refineries do. Oil refineries take the crude oil from the ground. They take the crude oil, and the process it goes through eventually makes it fuel that you can put in your vehicle. Don't try putting crude oil in your vehicle. It has to be refined. And the Bible refers to the person in verse 4 of our text. The person who's involved in this process is the finer. We would say the refiner, but the finer. The finer makes the ore better. He makes it purer. If you would, he makes it finer. That's his job. He's an expert. This is an expert in removing impurities from the ore that it can become a vessel. And the finer knows exactly what's needed to remove those impurities. He knows that. I wouldn't know that. He knows that. And in refining these precious metals, that process, we're talking about the process, uses control heat. That's how you remove these. Maybe you've seen people, you know, that have silver in this pot over a fire, and those impurities, that dross begins to surface, it begins to come out. The refiner knows exactly how much heat it takes to purge or separate the dross. Just in case you're interested, we talked about these other metals. The melting point of tin is 449 degrees. Pretty warm, right? Pretty hot. The melting point of lead is 621 degrees. And that's what it takes to get lead hot enough that it begins to melt, that you can remove those impurities from it. The melting point of silver is 1761 degrees. It's getting warm now, right? But the more precious the metal is, the more heat it takes to do it. And silver is precious, $20 an ounce today. In case you want to know, the melting point of gold is 1,947 degrees. But it's, again, worth $1,700 an ounce today. So the point is, the refiner knows exactly what it takes. He's an expert. He's a professional. He knows what it takes to remove these impurities, the dross, out of away from the silver, that silver can reach its potential and be a vessel. And I just want to say to you tonight something you already know, that God knows. He's the expert, and He knows what it takes in each of our lives to help us get the things out of our life that really we would be better off without. All of us have this tendency. We have this tendency to want to hold on to things that are meaningful to us. And I'm not just talking about physical objects. Sometimes it's just our rights. It's our own will. It's our stubbornness. But all those things can stand in the way of us reaching our potential. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs I want to turn to. Look in Proverbs chapter 17. We'll come back to 24 here in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 17, and look at verse 3. It says, "The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." The fining pot is for silver. That's where they put the heat to the rough ore to bring it to a liquid form, to remove the impurities from it. And the furnace is for gold, but the Lord trieth the heart. In other words, He tests us. He proves us. That's what the word tries mean. Just as the melting pot is used to purify the silver, God works in our heart to purify us. He's committed to making us the vessel He wants us to be. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but if I'm thinking about this process, in my mind, I'm still seeing this prospector who's bringing this chunk of ore out of the ground, thinking this actually could, this could really be silver. I see something shining in there. Maybe it is silver. And the whole process that it takes to remove the impurities so one day that silver can be in its purest form, so that silver can become something that's extremely valuable. And I see that as the very way that God works in our life. He brings, he finds us. Nobody else might see potential in our lives. You know, my just had this thought. My wife and I, this coming Saturday, are going to our 50th, we graduated the same time. We're going to our 50th class reunion. And we're going to find out when we get down there that everybody's changed but us. But the truth is, we've known some of these people over the years, but most of them, and we had a large graduating class. We were in the city of Dallas, and we have many hundreds in our graduating class. But I've not been to one of these reunions yet. This is my first and only one I'll ever go to, the 50th. But you know what? There are going to be people there that when they knew me when I was a junior in high school would have never in 1,000 years thought I'd be doing what I'm doing today. And I wouldn't have thought in those days that I'd ever be doing what I've spent my entire life doing. But the point is, when God looks at our life, He sees that maybe He could use us in some way. Maybe God has a purpose for us. And we can't assume that because what we see, like what they would say, have seen, they'll say, well, man, we never dreamed we ever saw that in you, and it wasn't in me. You know what I'm saying? But God looks at us differently. And God sees every one of us and the potential in every one of our lives. And he knows that what He has to do is get certain things out of our lives to help us reach our potential. And He uses a lot of things. He uses His Word, for instance. I mean, just like this. We think about the Bible. We're studying the Bible. We're God's speaking to our heart through the Word. And He helps us see things in our life that really we'd be better off without. God uses His Word. It's powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And He uses His Word, reading His Word, studying His Word, hearing His Word taught and preached. He uses His Word. Another thing God uses, and we talked about this a little bit Sunday, He uses correction. Whom the Father loveth, He chastens and scourges every son. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. It was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. God uses troubles and chastisement and correction and discipline to help us grow and to learn. And talking about this matter of chastisement in Hebrews 12, it says that God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. You know, if God brings correction into my life, if He chastens me in some way, and by the way, He doesn't chasten me because He dislikes me. He chastens us because He loves us. And if He brings chastisement into our life, if He corrects us in some way, it's that we might be partakers of His holiness. It's that we'll be purified, that we'll be more what He wants us to be. You know, the writer of Proverbs says that reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, I don't know about you, but I never really enjoy it when somebody tells me I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? But reproofs of instruction are the way of life. It helps us. It's for our own benefit. God uses truth. God uses correction. Maybe God also uses circumstances. God uses circumstances to help us grow. One of my favorite characters in all the Bible is Joseph over in the Old Testament. His brothers betrayed him. His brothers sold him as a slave. He ended up in Egypt as a slave because of the way they treated him. He was a slave in Potiphar's house, and there he was falsely accused of inappropriate conduct with Potiphar's wife. And then when he was in prison, the butler forgot about him. You know, the butler was his ticket out of prison. And the butler forgot about him. Now, what was God doing all this time? What was God doing all this time? You know what he's doing? He was preparing a vessel. He was preparing himself a vessel that he could use. And he became one of the most powerful men in all of Egypt. because he let God use him. And so the point is that God uses things to purify us and purge us. And sometimes it's painful. You know, if you could interview that piece of raw silver that's in that pot that's experiencing that great heat, you could interview it and say, how's this feel? Probably say it feels horrible. But you know what? The finer knows what the end product is going to look like. And so God uses things. And God, if I could say this, God even uses us to recognize things in our life that need to go. I mean, you could very well be somebody tonight thinking, you know, if I could get this out of my life, if I could part with this attitude, if I could get over this habit, if I could replace this way of thinking that's just plagued me with putting on the mind of Christ and thinking, if I could just work, God even uses us to get things in line, to get things out of our life. But the reality is, it's a process. It's a process. You know, I remember when my wife and I first got saved, we hadn't been to church for years, and we didn't know anything about the Bible, and we didn't know the language, the lingo, you know, we didn't know any of this stuff. But I remember I would hear these sayings, and it sort of kind of connect with us. And I remember this saying was a new convert: please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. And you know what? It's a process, folks. And sometimes we feel like we're not getting anywhere. We feel like, but the reality is, God wants to work in our life. God wants to work in our life. And God wants to help us become everything that He has planned for us. The potential is that we would be a vessel that God could use. And the problem, though, is, and we need to understand this, God can't use us in our natural state. We might think, you know, we really have something that God could use, like we really have something valuable. But the truth is, there's no good thing that dwells within me, that is within my flesh. The only way I can be a vessel that God could use is for Him to work in my life and remove the things. And I ought to cooperate with that. And that's the process. The last thing I want to look at in our text, I hope you have your Bible open here in Proverbs 25, verse 4, and I'll just mention this quickly. He says, take away the dross from the silver. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And notice the last three words of that verse, for the finer. And that's what I'm going to call the purpose. The purpose is for the finer. The vessel for the finer. See, this whole thing is not about us doing something that we could feel good about. It's us becoming what God wants us to be for God's glory. It's for the finer. We're to be His instrument. We're to be His vessel. You know, having been in the ministry, you know, for more than 45 years, I can tell you, I've known some people that were very unlikely candidates to be a vessel that God has really used. And it's a marvelous thing to watch Him do that. But I have to say, I've also known some people who had a whole lot more natural ability or talent than I certainly would have or do. And yet, they've basically kind of crashed and burned along the way. Because it's not about what we have. It's about getting ourselves out of the way. Letting God get our pride out of the way. Letting God get our selfishness out of the way. Letting God get our own will out of the way. Our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And what is our purpose in life? And this seems so elementary. It seems so simple. Maybe even seems oversimplified, but the reality is our purpose in life is to be useful to the finer, to God who's working in our life, to be pleasing to Him. He is the potter. We're just the clay. He is the potter. And our purpose is to please Him, to become more and more like Him. So a very simple verse of Scripture. I want to read it again, as I've read it already 20 times probably. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. You know, I read a story a long time ago about a silversmith, and it was about a silversmith who was holding a piece of rough ore over a fire, actually, letting it heat up and just explaining the process of refining and how he had to hold it over the middle of the fire, and the flames were extremely hot, etc. And so a person who was watching this, it was, you know, maybe you've seen a glass blowing demonstration or things of that nature. We've seen things of that nature as well. But the person was there observing it, asked, you know, if it's true that you have to stay right with it, you have to just keep your hand on it, you have to make sure. And the man said, absolutely, you know, I have to always be there, always be watching it. And because if you leave it alone, it's intense heat. If you leave it alone, then, you know, it could destroy it. It hinder the process. And so they asked the silversmith, then, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? And the silversmith answered, he said, it's easy. When I can see my image in it, then I know I've got the impurities out of it. And you know, that's really true about our life. You know, when what God wants to do is he wants others to see Christ in us. Not just see us, not see what we can do, not see how smart we are, not see how talented we are. That's not important. What's important is that people see that Christ is changing our life, that he's making us into a vessel, that he's working in our life. And, you know, there's a great span of age in this congregation tonight, young people and some of us who are not quite so young, right? But you know what? Whatever your age, God still has a plan for your life. You're still here. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And our job is not to make ourselves successful. Our job is to let God work in our life. Remove the things that he wants to remove. And I know how men think better than I know how women think. And this is what I know about how we sometimes think as men, is we think we can do it on our own. You know, we like to think that there's something about us that doesn't like to be weak. There's something about us that doesn't like to ask for help. But you know what? Sometimes God has to change us and move us and make us see ourselves differently. And the Apostle Paul, I think, was one of the just an outstanding leader, perhaps the most effective Christian leader of all time, except for Christ. And yet God allowed him to go through some very painful things. And at one point, he had what he described as a messenger of Satan that's buffeting him, beating him. And three times he prayed that God would deliver him. Three times. And this man was not a sissy, he was not a wimp. He was a man's man. But three times he said, please, God, if you would, get this off me. I'm paraphrasing it. But you know what God said? I've got something better for you. And that is this, that in your weakness, my strength will be made perfect. I'm going to make you better because of this. If I had my wish, I'd say, God, every trial you can, keep it away from me. I don't like hardship. I don't like affliction. I don't like difficulty. But you know what? God knows what's best for us. Take away the dross from the silver, and there cometh forth a vessel for the finer. Would you be willing tonight just to say, Lord, I want you to help me with your help to reach the potential you have for me, what you want to use me for. Not what I want, not what my dreams, not my ambitions, but what you want to do with my life. And you know, I think if we have a sincere heart, God will do that. If we just cooperate with him. Sometimes I feel like I see myself on that potter's wheel just wanting to jump off the wheel. But you know what? God's got a plan for us. God's got a plan for us. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. With our heads bowed tonight, would you try, if you could, to see yourself as that piece of silver, that piece of ore that has great potential, but it'll only reach its potential if the impurities
if the foreign matter, if the things that do not need to be there can be removed. Could you see yourself in that light tonight and be willing to say, Lord, I want to be willing to let you get everything out of my life that needs to go, that I could be what you want me to be, what you want me to be. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, could we stand together, please? And I'm going to pray here in just a moment. I appreciate you being so attentive tonight to God's Word. But this is, in many ways, as important a time as the time of preaching and teaching. Because this is the time that we apply, we personalize, we mix faith with what God has said. Would you be willing to do that tonight? And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know you're going to heaven, would you be willing to talk to somebody about that tonight and say, look, I need help with this. I need help with this. And even that, you'll have to humble yourself, you know. Say, to admit, I'm not sure about this. But you know what? God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Father, as we pray this evening, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for this simple lesson from a proverb written many thousands of years ago. And yet, Lord, it helps us to see the potential in our lives and the problems that we have with our own lives, with our self-life and our carnality, our pride. But we also see that the potential and the process that will make us what you want us to be. And at the end of the day, Father, we want to be pleasing to you. We know in this life, we often get caught up in what matters most to us. But we know when we leave this life, Lord, the thing's going to be mattered most is what you think and how it pleased you. So would you work in our hearts tonight, I pray.